Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good Tuesday evening. It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles or wherever you are listening or viewing. Last week we had people from all over the country tuning in. Yeah, it was really cool. Hi, I'm Nick Newmont, and I don't need to delay the announcing my guest. Sheena Metal is here.
Hi, how are you?
She's on a marathon today.
It's show number 4.
Jeez. Okay. Hey, if you are tuning in for the first time, I'm Nick Newmont. I'm the co-owner of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living, which we'll talk about a lot tonight.
Yes.
I am a psychic healer, and as a lot of you know from last week, I channeled Merlin live, and it's one of the things that I do. And thank you for the viewership and the response. You know, when we go on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, it's amazing, you know, the amount of viewership that's there. And it's incredible how you can track yourself. We have a lot of things coming up at the Newmont Center, and I'll go sort of backwards. Saturday, March 29th, we have another member of the Newmont Center that you folks are not familiar with, Holly Miracle, and she does breath work. She's doing a workshop that day. Holly is at our place doing deep breath work on Mondays. And then next week, my guest on the show, and then live March 7th at the Newmont Center's Michelle Gezzi. Michelle is a fellow hypnotherapist. I've known her since 1996. That's scary. And we're very young. And she's doing a full workshop on past life regressions. And this is not a training on how to do them. This is an experiential workshop. So if you'd like more information, you can contact me. You can call the center at 818-865-8770. Or if you would like to be on my mail contact list, nnewmont, N-N-E-W-M-O-N-T, at gmail.com. And, of course, our website is newmontcenter.net and nicknewmont.com. And then this coming Saturday, February 29th, from 2 to 4,
yeah,
we have Sheena Metal, and your workshop, I think, is going to be very fascinating in what you're going to present. And by the way, you know, with my clients and all my students, I was very adamant with some of my students, and you know how we're not supposed to say should. I told them last night, you should be there on Saturday, and a lot of them are or will be there there we are. We can now share. will be there this Saturday, and I know Sheena that people are signing up.
Yeah,
and I've referred them directly to you.
Wonderful, thank you.
You're welcome, and first of all, how the heck are you?
I'm wonderful, my friend. How are you? What a joy and an honor that you've afforded me to work at the Newmont Center for Balanced Living these last couple of months. And I'm honored to be a part of everything that you and your beautiful wife, Audrey, are doing.
Thank you. And it's a privilege to have you there. And a few weeks ago with Vox,
yeah,
you know, the three of us had a good time on the psychic panel. And
yep,
people got a lot out of it. And those of you, if you're not up to it, Vox will be a full-time resident
of
the Newmont Center as of April 1st.
Beautiful.
And I move into...
Hi, Audrey. Audrey's calling.
Yeah, my wife is calling.
Should we take it?
that's funny. Well, I don't know. Do we take that? That's funny.
Do we call Audrey on the air?
It actually interrupts the watch party where I'm broadcasting. So... wow, look at people jumping on here. Anyway, we're a little distraction there. So your workshop that you're presenting, and and the individuals in my class, as I said, you should take it, are people who are tuned in and too very tapped in. And tell us about the workshop that you're presenting.
Absolutely. So it's an empath awareness workshop, because I find that so many people think, what's wrong with me? Why do people always tell me I'm too emotional? Why do people think I'm crazy? Why do people think I can't let things go? What's happening? The truth is that you're an empath. And I always start every workshop out. My workshop is called Why Do I Feel Everything? Because empaths, we feel everything. So we know that. This workshop helps you to identify your empathic gifts, and then helps you to understand how to cope in the world where, one, not everybody is empathic like us, and two, some people are negative. And how do you stay positive in the face of negativity? How do you learn to filter out what you don't need, since you can't help but take everything in? So that's why it's called Why Do I Feel Everything? Because, man, empaths, we just feel everything.
Right, right. And I have several students that really need to take that, because I think that what you will do, in fact, I know what you will do, and here comes a phone call, we're going to take this, is enlighten these people.
Yeah, and be nurturing and gentle with them. Empaths need love. They need to be like cradled and cuddled in their souls. They don't need to be yelled at more, like, why are you feeling everything, you jerk? I mean, that doesn't help. So they need softness.
Exactly, and here comes softness. Hello.
Hello there.
Audrey, how are you? It's Audrey Newmont.
She wants you to pick up some milk on the way home.
She just went to the store.
Nick, can you pick up some milk on the way home?
I can pick up whatever.
Hi, sweetheart.
You know what he really had me pick up was the sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free ice cream.
What in the world even is that? Is it just a carton of air? What's in the ice cream?
I'm becoming a breatharian.
It was dairy-free and gluten-free.
Could you just pick up a little cup of air and a piece of lettuce for me?
Pick up a helium
balloon.
And it's balloon.
$15, thank you.
Right, exactly, because you got it at Whole Foods, that's why. A cup of air is $25 at Whole Foods.
Or Sprouts.
Because it's organic air.
No, right. I had Sprouts, they're about $5 less.
Oh, nice, okay, so like $20 for a cup of air.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hi there, Sheena.
Hi,
are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm wonderful. It's great to hear your voice. I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing you, too. Nick had said that I should call in, and one reason was to say hi to you and explain how much we love having you coming on Saturday and doing that workshop. That's going to be amazing.
For me, too. For me too, my friend. I'm so honored to be a part of this. And like I said, if you love it, we'll do it a lot, because I have lots of workshops, and I trust the energy of the Newmont Center, and I love working out of it, because I know that your people and my people are both safe when they're there. Some places, you know, that promise spirituality don't have an energy that resonates well with me.
Mm-hmm. That's...
I get it. Now, what you see is what you get with us.
Yeah.
And so what we haven't seen, we just got, speaking of that. We just had our daughter have her baby yesterday,
well,
and we're so excited.
Congratulations. Is that your first time as grandparents?
Yes.
It is.
How exciting is that? So how you doing, rock and roll grandma? How you feeling about that?
I'm just so excited. And so, I mean, it's amazing when your own kid has her baby and you get to be there for the birth and witness this little miracle of life coming in. It's just truly one of the most fascinating things ever. And just like the feeling of love in the room and everything involved with it, it's just amazing. So I just wanted to call in and say, you know, we've got this circle of life and this is the beginning of it. And it's just a joy. And just... extremely happy.
So wonderful, sweetie. I'm so happy for you both and for your kids.
Thank you. Thanks. So I don't want to take any more of your time. Nick had said that I should call in and share our good news. So
Yay.
You get back to being Miss Sheena.
Thank you. I'll see you Saturday, sweetheart.
We love you. Love you. Love you.
Love you too, baby.
Catch up with you guys later.
You bet.
I'll see you later.
What a lovely
Bye.
Wife you have. Aren't you
Bye.
Lucky? What a nice,
I am lucky.
What a nice partner in the center you have.
And I have to tell you something. So me, the astrologer, I was waiting for the birth information. I think that my daughter, my stepdaughter, has not announced publicly the name yet, so I'm not going to say that. But what I can say is that she's a double Pisces, sun and moon in Pisces, and Virgo rising. Mm. But in the way the planets are spaced between the fifth house and the eighth house is that she's not just a grand trine. She's a grand trine kite chart.
Wow.
Which is really powerful.
Wow.
And that's, you know, when you look at people that have born with grand trine kites, they're accomplishers. And it's very creative.
Yeah.
I know that in famous charts I've looked at, Madonna has a grand trine kite. Kurt Cobain had a grand trine kite.
Wow.
I mean, these are people that make an impact.
Wow. It's beautiful.
And she's got four planets in Pisces, which is very soft and sensitive.
My condolences to her.
But she's got four planets in Capricorn.
Oh, again, my condolences to her.
So every time she whines, this is at a grown person, then the Capricorn will slap her.
Right, exactly.
It's like, get over it.
I have an Aries sun and a Cap moon, and I always say that because, you know, the slogan for Aries is I am. I always say when the Aries says I am, the Capricorn moon says, no, you're not. And it kind of keeps me in check. And I have a Virgo rising too, so that's a hayride. It's a lot.
That will ground. Virgo is common sense.
Yeah. And she'll create databases. Every time I do something in my life, my best friend says, oh, did you make the database for it yet? And then I say yes, because of course I've already made the database because I have a Virgo rising.
That's smart. It is. And I mean that literally. Virgo rules that part of the analytical mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think first.
Mm-hmm.
Where Aries jumps in and forgets to look and see if there's water in the pool.
I know, but aren't we fun?
Of course.
As we're laying all scabbed up in the waterless pool, we're still fun. And we usually make the best of it and laugh and crawl back out.
But the Aries, that's right. And the Aries, when they're scabbed up, they go, let's do that again.
Exactly. Wait, let's try it again because maybe there'll be water this time. Let's give it a shot. Yeah. We never quite say no. We never learn to give up.
Yep. You know, one thing, and when I teach astrology, I tease all the signs.
Oh, yeah.
I find
me
something
too.
Fun to pick on, and I just go, you know, right down the line. And when it comes to Virgo, it's the most analytical of the 12 signs, and I always look at those students and go, just remember what the first four letters of analytical are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
A-N-A-L.
Yeah, welcome to having a Virgo rising. A-N-A-L all the way.
But with Aries, if there was a burning building, you know, and everyone's going, oh, what do we do? The Aries does not think about it. They rush in and rescue.
Yep.
And later on they go, oh, yeah, that was dangerous.
Yeah.
They're there in an emergency.
Well, you know, and I found, especially as an empath, that that Ariesian trait that has served me well in career and in my spiritual work has not served me well in my interpersonal relationships. Because with people, you kind of have to think before you leap. You can't just say, oh, there's someone who needs my help. Let me rescue them. I have learned over time to be a little more discerning of how much I leap when it comes to human beings. With everything else, I'm still leaping like a mad thing.
Well, and as we mature, there is a certain level of wisdom that we acquire with the experience.
Yeah.
Of, you know, wisdom is sort of a combination of knowledge, experience, and memory.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, assuming that we do acquire and accrue a certain level of wisdom. So anyway, so how are things at your church? You do
Fantastic.
Service at the Founders Church.
I do. I'm the interfaith pastor at the Founders Metropolitan Community Church, which, you know, started with just that church and now 200 churches around the world, 33 countries. In the last 51 years, almost 52 years. Audrey spoke at my last one, as well
That's
as Vox.
Correct. Right, right.
I do a Saturday night spiritual, the second Saturday of every month, so March 7th this month, and 5 o'clock. We do it early so people can come get your church on and then go make your curtain or your concert or whatever fabulous LA thing you have to do. And it has
That's
really
smart.
Changed my life. I sing with my musical director. I'm putting together a choir. We're putting together a band. I'm incorporating music and spirituality, two of my greatest loves. And I get to speak about fun things and help people. I do a blessing at the end because MCC does communion. I didn't want to do communion because it was a little too Christian for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a blessing and people get to come up and sit with me and I'll bless anything they want, including them. So there'll be a little one-on-one time with me they get.
Right.
It really is, Nick, you know this, but it's one of the greatest joys of my life is this service. I feel so good about it. And I love being a minister more than anything.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun. I've never performed a service, but I have married a lot of people. I'm a
sure.
minister also. Mm-hmm. And that is so much fun.
Yeah.
And we got a phone call today about possibly marrying a couple. And it's like, it's a lot to look forward to. And
yeah.
it's, you know, at a wedding, the vibration of love, not just of the couple that's getting married, yeah. but everyone's so happy for them.
Yes.
And, I mean, and you know that, although I don't do this, but that line that's done in traditional services where they say, if there's anyone now, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Right.
I mean, no one ever stands up and does that because there's no one
only
there.
Only in movies.
Only in movies or in The Bachelor.
Right. yes. Some crazed girl that didn't get picked.
Right. Exactly. No, it's like it's beautiful when people get married. And like I was saying, the vibration of love is so high. Everyone's in such a good mood.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. So we got to keep everybody in that mood for a long time.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Realistically. I mean, now here we go the other direction. And, you know, when you watch the news and there's all the presidential candidates and all the debates and the town hall meetings and caucuses and all that. And it is just such a knotted ball of yarn right now.
Mm-hmm. Election years are tough.
They are. And you know what's interesting? And this is for the last good 20 years, if not a little bit more. Traditionally, election years would really, you know, really move the economy, you know, because everything was being done, you know, everybody was on good behavior and, you know, it would.
Excited.
Yes, exactly.
Excited for change.
And now when you read, you know, and watch TV and social media and all that, and everybody is just taking shots at everybody.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, I remember as a kid, every once in a while you would hear that term mudslinging.
Mm.
Now that's all that goes on.
Yes.
Everybody's just splattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
So we go from the happiness and the joy of weddings and marriage into politics.
Yeah,
But I can't help but feel that, and again, doesn't matter which side of the fence we stand on, that changes are coming.
Mm.
And I mean this on a much more broad, higher vibrational level. Things are going to change in the world.
I agree.
It's not that they're going to. They are changing. We just don't see the evidence yet.
I agree. And I think we're evolving out of a lot of our mammalian traits. You know, things that make us the angry monkey side of us. I think we're beginning to evolve out of a lot of that. And as we're evolving out of that, there are those that are still living in that sort of base, banal place that are trying to pull us back into a chimp fight. And we just have to remember that we need to keep evolving, that the sand has already come down from the top of the hourglass. It's not going back in. And we're not going to de-evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's always going to be resistance. Whenever there's change, there's resistance.
In the, I got a vision of the very first Night at the Museum movie with Ben Stiller, you know, when the monkey, the capuchin monkey comes to life and they get into it. And
love a capuchin monkey.
Robin Williams as Teddy Roosevelt going, who's evolved? Who's evolved? Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like, and we have to remember that. In fact, there's a deck of tarot cards called the Tarot of the New Vision.
Beautiful.
And this artist, and I'll show you them when you come on Saturday. Took the traditional rider deck and flipped it around so the picture of what you're seeing is from the reverse angle. So in other words, you know how the magician is like this?
Yeah.
Then you see the magician from behind. And in this deck, a little monkey is tugging at the cape of the magician. And it has to do with the magician as man who's more evolved.
Yeah.
Or is the monkey running the show?
Yeah,
part that you were just talking about.
Right, right.
So that card is well illustrated.
And that was certainly not an analogy about politics right now.
No. But, God, no.
Is the monkey running the show is a really good question.
Or, you know,
running the show?
Who's running the show?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get this question all the time, especially when I teach in Dallas, because I think down there where the state is so divided, where the urban areas are becoming very blue and the rural areas are still very red, and there's a lot of confusion in between the two. People always ask me, you know, what do you think about all of the the fighting between the right and the left. And I always say somewhere there is a group of individuals who are benefiting from everybody being at everybody's throat. And that is our real concern, sure. Not folks that believe differently or worship differently or live differently. Our concern is who is benefiting from us all fighting with each other, because while we're at odds with each other, nothing is getting done.
That's true.
And we've seen that like in about the last 20 years in our country, right? Not a lot has gotten done because we're so busy at war all the time with each other.
Well, when we create what we're creating now and have been for a while, we're creating chaos.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and things need to go back into cosmos. In other words, from disorganization into organization.
Yes,
and when it's chaos, everything is just bouncing off the walls.
Yes,
and as you said, nothing is getting done. When we can become more cosmotic, then things will make sense. Everything will slow down,
mm-hmm.
and things will start to change. You know, in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But things have been insane for a while.
Yeah.
And it's
all part of the shift.
Oh, sure.
We're just, sure. We are like, we're two clicks off of a primate, and we are a primate technically. And we're just trying to deal with the shift.
Well, and as we do get deeper into the Aquarian age, it's such a high vibration that there are people that will just flow with that and, Aquarian energy is very electrical, and it'll make other people feel like they just put their finger in the socket.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Aquarian energy, it can be very crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, crazy making, because Aquarius is ruled by Uranus,
right,
which is high end, unpredictable energy.
Yeah.
Uranus right. rules sudden changes like earthquakes and weather and stuff like that. That's, mm-hmm. in fact, I remember my astrology teacher telling me many years ago, the one thing that you can predict about Uranus is that it's unpredictable.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, and Aquarians, I think, wrestle within themselves internally all the time. Very difficult to make decisions, very difficult to come to a definitive belief of how they feel about something. They're kind of always ass over tea kettle trying to figure out how they feel. So,
sure,
I get that.
And on top of that, they're extremely sensitive people.
Mm-hmm. Overly
extremely.
So. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so you're going to bring everyone back to Cosmos on Saturday at our place?
We're going back to Cosmos, my friends. We're learning how to deal with our empathy and to be happy, productive people. You know, when I start this workshop, I always start by saying, congratulations, you're an empath, and my condolences, you're an empath. Because I think being an empath for somebody who is a spiritually evolved person is the most wonderful thing about you and the hardest thing to get a grasp on. But once you get a grasp on your empathy and you learn to make it work for you, then you go from thinking it's the most awful thing about you to it's the best thing about you.
Sure. What do you do for people who, I'm not saying they say this, but who can't turn off the voices?
Mm.
In other words, it's just going.
Yeah. Filters and screens. You got to put filters up, screens, and you have to learn how to drain out. You let it all come in and you drain what you don't need out. It has to be a constant flow of energy coming through an empath, right? Where you're taking everything in, but maybe you're only keeping 3% of that and you're letting 97% flush out the other. I always use the analogy, which I will on Saturday, of when you pour the spaghetti into the colander, right? And all the water comes out and you just keep the spaghetti. You have to just keep the spaghetti when the information comes in. You don't need every single bit of it. You know, it's funny because somebody suggested today earlier when I was doing my daily show here, the Sheena Metal Experience, that I should teach I am teaching a follow-up, a next level class to Why Do I Feel Everything, called Why Do I Still Feel Everything? But somebody suggested that I teach a companion workshop to it called, because I said I should teach a companion workshop called Why Can't I Let Anything Go? People were like, please teach that, because today on the show, while I was doing readings for 2 hours, every single caller, the lesson was let it go. So I think I'm going to teach a workshop, probably as a webinar. That's how I start them all. Maybe next month, called Why Can't I Let Anything Go? Because I think people don't understand. They think there's something wrong with them, which is sort of how I start talking during Why Do I Feel Everything. There's nothing wrong with you because you're an empath. Being an empath is a perfectly normal thing. You've been ordained by spirit to be an empath. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it doesn't quite fit into the three-dimensional world. It's great in the 5D. It's not great in the 3D.
What do you do for people that say, if they do, I can't feel anything?
That's hard, because a lot of people just shut off because it's easier.
Right.
But people want to feel things. Nobody wants to live a life completely shut off. I spend a lot of time turning clients back on.
We're in the, coming up the next Monday night is the eighth and final week of a meditation class that I've been teaching that leads to channeling.
Beautiful.
And thank you. And, you know, it's fascinating that when people come into that, how they think they can't this and they can't feel and they can't. And then last night they broke up into pairs in different areas of the center and the amount of information that they were getting about each other was really good, really fascinating. And it gets back to the answer to so many questions. Meditate. Meditate, meditate, meditate.
Breathe.
Right.
Breathing is so important.
Breathing is huge. Well, if you don't breathe, you can't meditate. I mean, that's the key to any kind of relaxing process, whether it's meditation, hypnosis, self-hypnosis, whatever it is. If you take yoga, you have to learn how to breathe the right way.
Well, and that's a lot of learning to let things go. If you do a simple breathing exercise, like, you know, in for 3 seconds, hold it for 3 seconds, out for 3 seconds. If you just keep doing that, eventually you'll start letting things go.
Right.
And I do that sometimes just because in my life, I've been a terrible anxiety sufferer. So when the anxiety comes back, which we always hope it's never going to, but it always at some point does, I just breathe my way through it now and talk to myself in my head and sort of meditate myself out of it, because it just naturally feels good to take air in and let it go. It naturally relaxes you. And in the process, energetically, you let a lot of stuff go.
Right. And when I'm doing hypnosis in the early stages of getting them to relax, when I start, you know, I start at the chest where they're breathing.
Good.
And there is a line that I use when they're breathing. Every inhale is like a breath of fresh air. Every exhale is like a sigh of relief.
I love that, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
And it's it helps. It puts it into reality instead of just the act of breathing. And then sometimes what I do is, because some people are more visual, and I'll say just visualize or imagine there's a colored mist in the air that's cool, refreshing, and relaxing. Breathe that in. And as you exhale, you're releasing a brownish-gray smoke. So you're breathing in positive, you're breathing out negative. Your body knows that it can't have positive and negative at the same time.
It's beautiful. That's nice. You. I did it. It was amazing. it was great. I just did it. Wake up. I'm high on the mist. Nick, I'm high on the mist. Help me.
It's floating along.
Yeah. I always like to try things when people say them, because I think sometimes people don't understand that we as light workers also do our own stuff.
Oh my
God,
yes.
We help each other. I do your stuff. You do my stuff. We heal each other. We heal ourselves. You know, we're not just here to tell you what to do, but we don't practice any of it.
Well, you know what? If we didn't practice what we preach most of the time, we wouldn't be able to do what we do as professionals, because then we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't be able to do it. And it would be a complete hypocrisy in the process.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And that doesn't take away from the fact that we're human and we still have to, you know, and that's aside from who we are professionally. We still have things to work through because it's karma.
Yeah, we're here having a human experience as well. We are light workers and we are healers and helpers, but we're also here having a human experience.
Exactly. Looks like we froze.
Uh-oh. That's it. I broke the camera. It's happened before. It'll happen again. Well, I'll wear more lipstick next time.
That's funny. I had an interesting, I don't know what's going on there. I had a fascinating experience. I was doing a property cleansing yesterday in a beauty salon. And again, I had one of my associates with me, because if I just said this, I wouldn't have someone to witness, you know, exactly what happened.
Sure.
So we were getting to the part where, and I do the whole pentagram ritual. I really go in and cleanse places. And so there was some residual energy, and I have this wooden wand and it has a quartz tip embedded in it.
Wow.
And I was waving this thing around to clear something that was lingering in this loft area. And I went like this, and the quartz tip went shooting like a bullet.
Oh my goodness.
And it went upstairs, and we went and got it and retrieved it. but it was pretty insane that that's what happened.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where, you know, you'd think about, well, you know, was it, you know, because I used force on it, and that isn't what happened. It was really the fact that it was just energy.
Yeah.
That went soaring out of there. So it was, and the funny thing is too, that in normal circumstance, courts would go flying and would go end over end,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
like a football.
Mm-hmm.
This thing shot.
Quartz is interesting. Quartz has an interesting reaction to energy. They do all kinds of things. Sometimes a giant piece will break in half for no reason. So I had a quartz dish once. It was like a quartz. It looked like a tray. And I put candles on it. And I had candles, brand new candles. They weren't burned down or anything. They were at the very beginning. And I was, you know, I was in a very toxic relationship. And somebody was screaming at me, which was par for the course in that relationship. And I was done. I was just done. And I said, you know what? You got to go. This has got to stop. And the thing just went boom and broke into four pieces. I think that quartz is very reactive to our energy.
It's reactive and it's very sensitive. And when we talk about crystals.
Didn't like fighting.
It didn't like it. And they take on a lot of energy, not mm-hmm. just give off a lot of energy. And my students that come to the healing classes where crystals are involved, I have said to them, if you're going to use those crystals within healing, don't get too attached in it.
Yes.
Because sometimes they give up the ghost
mm-hmm.
and you come in the next day, whatever, and there's a beautiful wand.
Yes, wands or whatever, a lot do that, right?
Mm-hmm. And it'll be there in half or in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. If we put too much energy into quartz especially, it'll break.
Yeah, and I love that tray, but who knew that just me getting upset, I could break that thing? But that's, I think the thing lived in my house. It was used to my energy and it was done. It's a shame because it was beautiful and I miss it, but.
Well, that's an interesting sort of segue, Sheena, because you're talking about crystals, but you're also talking about the workshop you're teaching Saturday.
Mm.
So we're talking about people,
mm.
you know, why am I like this? Why are crystals like this?
Right. Why do crystals feel everything? That's my new workshop. I'm going to explain to you the life of a crystal and what it feels and how it cries when you're angry and breaks in half. But it's true. I believe that crystals are living things as we are living things.
Right.
Living things react positively to positive things and negatively to negative things.
Truly.
So when you're using a crystal to soak up a lot of negativity, or like a hematite sometimes, a black tourmaline, a selenite wand.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using these things to suck up energy and negativity and you're not cleansing them, sometimes they're like, you know what? I'm dirty and I hate you. And they break.
Mm-hmm. Because they have absorbed all.
They've got too much toxicity in them.
Right.
Just like as humans, when we absorb too much toxicity, we break. We begin to develop health problems, emotional problems.
Right.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Got to get rid of the toxicity, my friends. Wash it out like the spaghetti water. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
And then your crystals will last longer and they will perform better.
Yes.
Too. And it's just like taking your car in to get the oil changed and
right.
all of that, or how we eat and take care of ourselves
right.
and nurture ourselves. You know, it's they're real things. They're not just rocks. In fact, I've actually witnessed with certain types of, let's call them minerals, not just crystals, that when you put a Geiger counter towards certain ones, they do read out.
Mm-hmm.
Not like uranium or something that's, you know, radioactive, but they do
register. Of course they do.
So there is a scientific vibration
mm-hmm.
that is readable in crystals, and of course some more than others.
Yeah, so. And guess what? There's a crystal in here. There's a crystal in your smartphone. Your smartphone. So when you are reactively to what's going on in your smartphone, whether it's the news on Google or a text somebody sent, or, oh my God, I didn't get enough likes on Facebook, there's a crystal in there and it's being affected by what you do.
Well, we get so caught up in the slipstream of things that we become unconscious. And, you know, here we are talking about quartz crystals in a metaphysical way, but there's a lot of things that we use on a daily basis that's quartz driven, but we don't think of it like that. And, you know, how many decades ago did we stop using windable spring watches, wristwatches, and it became, quartz movement.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, like computers, North Central California isn't called the Silicon Valley for nothing. And the compound of quartz chemically is silicon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
That's quartz. And so Silicon Valley. So what do they make? Computer chips.
Mm-hmm.
So quartz is a huge part of our everyday life. But when we talk about it in terms of crystals in that world, it's like, oh, crystals, you don't believe in that, do you? You believe your computer works and your watch works and your phone works.
I know. There's a crystal everywhere, my friends.
Right. But the cool thing is with crystals, of course, when I did this cleanse, this beauty salon, she had, this is a mainstream salon in the heart of Beverly Hills.
Mm.
And she had crystals here, crystals
nice.
There. And
nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love that.
But there was one thing we had to tell this person. Your crystals need cleaned.
Mm. You got dirty crystals, Blady.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is humorous, too. Some crystals, as long as they're not water-soluble, you can put them in water, mm-hmm. dry them off. And doing that at the full moon is really good.
Absolutely. Never with your selenite.
No. The selenite, anything of the gypsum family, selenite, yeah. kyanite.
Yeah.
Those things will melt.
Your Himalayan salt crystals.
Right. So she had a very tall, like 4 foot tall amethyst geode.
Oh.
And it's like, how is she going to carry that? And, mm-hmm. and I said, you have a great cleaning tool right here in the salon.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, what? I said, the hairdryer. Just blow the dust out of it with the hairdryer.
Yeah. Give it a little wipe down.
And then she had a spritz.
Nice.
You know.
She gave it a spritz and a blow dry. It got fluffed out.
And it left looking great.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it was happy. It never sparkled so much.
Right. Yeah. So you do have to clean your crystals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you have a lot, it's a lot to clean. I have a lot.
Mm-hmm. We do too. In house, our house, and in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we have to go around and do that. So when we talk about cleaning and cleansing, And this again came up yesterday. The general public has been advised certain ways to do things because someone said that.
Mm.
And I want to talk about sage for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sage is good for purifying energy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're dealing with negative energy or entities, sage is not the right thing because the properties of sage, spirits actually like it. So even if it's a negative spirit, it's basically they eat it, all right? You're feeding them with mm-hmm. sage. When the energy is pretty good, sage all you want because it just raises the vibration of
yeah.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a cleaner. And there are ritualistic incenses that are designed to remove negativity, especially any of you out there have, if you came to our place or if you had Wiccan friends. And if you use things like John the Conqueror, dragon's blood.
Sure. Dragon's blood's wonderful for cleaning.
Right. Exactly.
Great for purifying.
And dragon's blood is an actual plant. Dragon's blood is not a metaphysical term. It's a palm plant with dark red pea-sized berries under it. And mm-hmm. that's what makes dragon's blood incense or oil or whatever you choose to use. Dragon's blood is an obstacle remover, but it's also a sealant. When you use dragon's blood, it keeps the good energy in. So if you have something going on and, you get advised, go and sage it or even sweetgrass, you need something stronger that's designed to really remove the negative energy.
Yeah.
And then of course, in ritualistic stores and Wiccan stores, they do have things that are formulated. I mean, there's banishing, there's exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things that are designed to get the nasties out.
What do you think about cedar wood?
I haven't used cedar wood.
I like cedar wood as a cleaner. I find there's something very pure about cedar. It's kind of, and it's also a nice thing if you've cleansed an area like using dragon's blood, a coat of cedar wood is very nice, and then maybe a little sage on the top. Just to sort of sweeten the area again once it's been cleaned. And then I always use lavender. Lavender's my go-to. I always throw lavender on the top of everything because I love the way lavender feels. And I think that sometimes people don't understand when they clean a space, then you have to put the good stuff in it.
Say that back again. That's
so when
huge.
when you clean a place and you get the negative energy out, then you have to replace it with positive energy. I mean, you know, when you get your kitchen cleaned and it smells like Windex, that's great. But then you want to bake cookies so it smells like a kitchen. And exactly. So you have to fill the space back up with the things that resonate with you. So I love cedar wood. I love the purification of it. I love the smell of burning wood. Palo Santo is also a beautiful thing to use.
I use that a lot.
Then I love to put the sage because I do like sage very much. And then I throw some lavender on the top, or sometimes I burn a stick that's sage and lavender mixed together.
Right.
Because to me, lavender is sort of my go-to. It relaxes me. It makes me feel love. It makes me feel satisfied and full spiritually. So then that just kind of sweetens the area.
Sure.
There's lavender everywhere in my life. I smell like lavender most of the time. And the beach. I smell like lavender and the beach.
It's a good combination.
It is a nice combination, yes. Yes, if only there were lavender plants at the beach, I'd be the happiest girl in the world. But yeah, I think it's very important that you sweeten a room with what feels good to you. Because that's another great way to get rid of the negativity, right? Nick, negativity and positivity can't exist in the same space at
once. Correct.
So if you fill a room with positivity, the negativity can't get in.
And when I try to describe that to my students too, when you're taking the negativity out, it's like if you go to the dentist and they drill out the cavity, you know, what's eroding the tooth, or is a hole. So they have to put in a filling. And so there are a lot of different things that you can use when you do ritualistic cleansing. Like there's incense called blessing. You can use love.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually use some of the incenses that are of the goddess energies, like Isis and Kuan Yin.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kuan Yin is wonderful. She's such a sweet girl.
Yeah, I love working with Kuan Yin.
Mm.
So yeah, you have to, Sheena's 1,000% right. You have to fill the hole.
Fill the hole with goodness. Fill it with sweetness.
Right.
You know, fill up what you didn't like with something good. And that even works on a day-to-day level. If you remove a toxic person from your life, don't just live with the hole of the toxic person being gone. Find something you love and put it into your life right away. You know, go see a movie, buy some music that you like, you know, spend some time singing out loud in your car, sit in a hot tub, take a bath, do something to fill the space again with positivity.
Right.
So there's not just an open hole when you're done.
Yeah. When people go through tough breakups, you hear them say, oh, I just feel so empty.
Yeah. Don't be empty. Fill yourself up with good. I think there's always an emptiness when someone leaves your life in any capacity, because they've passed, because they've left, friend, family, coworker, lover, whatever the story is. But I also think that when you've removed somebody who did not belong in your life anymore, or somebody who carries a certain level of toxicity, there's even a bigger hole. It's like when there's a cancer, they don't just take out the tumor, they cut around the tumor. You sort of have to cut around to remove that person. And then there's just a bigger hole. So fill it with something that means love to you.
And what I'm about to say is challenging, though, but when someone feels that emptiness, the challenge is, you know, how do you fill that with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a similar feeling, but it's two different concepts. And that is loneliness versus solitude.
Sure.
And sometimes when people go through repeated, you know, lousy relationships and it's not working. And I credit my wife with this is that you have to fall in love with yourself.
Yes. First,
you know, you have to find you, you have to love you.
Yes.
And when there is a breakup and again, we know it's easier said than done.
Absolutely.
But you know, fill the hole with yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, be kind to you. And also it's in a romantic way, do things for you. In other words, if you're feeling that no one is buying you flowers, buy yourself flowers.
Yes.
You know, get you, treat you.
Yes. Be your own Valentine.
Right.
It's true.
It is true.
It's the only, and if you want to bring the right person into your life, I'm teaching a soulmate webinar this week. And if called, Are You My Soulmate? And if you want to bring a soulmate in, you got to be your soulmate first. You've got to get it together so that the universe can bring in the mirror reflection of who you are. So you have to learn to fall in love with yourself first. If you just go from one unhappy relationship to another, you're never getting to that place where you really love yourself.
That's true. It's very true. As we are like going the speed of light through this show. a little bit of reminder, this coming Saturday at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills, Sheena will be there from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
And your workshop is called?
Why Do I Feel Everything?
So it's awesome. I've done a lot of shows with Sheena, and she knows what she's talking about.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. I know there are some chairs available, and I also know that people have been signing up.
Yeah.
So how is... You still have space available?
I do have some space available. We will make room for you because I don't believe in turning people away. So you can text me at 818-437-0886. If that makes you and feel free to use my phone. That's fine. If that makes you uncomfortable, you may use you may email me. It takes a little bit longer for me to get back to you by email. It's Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com, and IamRaisingYourVibration.com is where my spiritual practice is.
Wonderful. And again, the Newmont Center, if you'd like to call us, you can call 818-865-8770. However, the Newmont Center, we are not collecting money for Sheena.
Apparently the money collector.
She's the collector. And again, my email is nnewmont@gmail.com. And you can friend us, either one of us, on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yes, please.
And also, be a friend of LA Talk Radio. There's a lot of good topics that go on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we try to present things that are not the typical topic on most radio,
mm-hmm.
even though this show is referred to as mainstream metaphysics. We're trying to.
Yeah, but but the metaphysics part makes it not your typical radio show.
No, it's not. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a lot of fun to do shows with you because sometimes guests have an agenda. And it's not rehearsed, but there is a little bit of a subtle script.
Sure.
With you and me, we just sit down and it's like, whatever it is.
I have no
what's
agenda.
Going on.
I'm glad you mentioned the workshop. You didn't have to. I have no, I just come here to play with you. It's fun. We're like spirit kids just playing. It's just fun to play with you.
We just don't know. And it's kind of like, in a very, and I mean this in the most genuine form, just two friends sitting down going, well, how are you? What's happening?
That's great. Yeah. Things are good. How are you, my friend? You're a grandpa now.
That hasn't
big changes
sunk,
for us both this year.
That hasn't sunk in yet. It is. And of course, like I said, I did the astrology chart, but it will really sink in.
That's awesome.
In the next couple of days, I'll get to meet this new one.
Wonderful. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Audrey was such a trooper. She went from midnight Sunday night and went to the hospital and was with Isla, you know, until the baby was born, you know, at 6:02 PM yesterday. That
wow.
was a long, long stretch
yeah.
of being. So Isla had a lot of support there and
it's beautiful.
Yep. Yep. So Audrey, she does an incredible job at everything she does.
She's wonderful.
She is just
She was
amazing.
Great when she spoke at my service. She had me sing the Beatles with her a cappella, and I did it and wasn't even shy. She was wonderful.
Yeah, she was quite proud of that, by the way.
That she got me to sing?
Yes.
She's very, yeah. Because, I mean, I'll sing when it's rehearsed, but I have a hard time impromptu doing things because, believe it or not, I'm painfully shy. No one ever believes that. But the closer you get to me, the more you realize how shy I am. And I just did it because she said, do it. And she has that big, beautiful, bubbly face. And I'm like, all right, Audrey says, do it. I'm going to do it. We did it. We sang really well together. I want her to come back and rehearse something with me and sing with me. She has a beautiful voice.
She does. She really does. And she would do that.
I know she would. I think she'd love it.
Yeah. And I have to get to your church.
I want
too.
You to come speak too. Yes.
I want to. So you'll keep all of it. When's your next service?
March 7th at 5 p.m. Pacific. If you're not in Los Angeles or you are and you can't make it, we broadcast it worldwide at SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. So you can watch from home, which I love. Our cyber audience is big. It's like 1,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Our audience is usually about 50. Our cyber audience is like 1,000, and it's growing all the time. So we've actually created like a set. We've got a fancier camera. We got lights because the cyber audience grew so big, we've changed to accommodate it, which is very exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm a televangelist now, apparently. My friends tease me.
Call in.
I'm going to get really big pink hair pretty soon and have a giant Jesus tattooed on my back. Yeah. You and know, you all want to see that.
With a donation line flashing
exactly,
on the screen.
With my hotline number. Jesus and my hotline number on my back, right? In neon. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
It's
that's
great.
Hysterical.
It's coming, Nick. Don't think I'm not doing it now because you suggested it.
See, blame me.
I'm doing it, folks. And I'll come here and show you my back on mainstream metaphysics. I love you, my friend.
Oh, love you too, Sheena. That is hysterical. See, you know, we're goofing around and the imagination, the fantasies are flowing. And that's how reality is
created.
That's
how it works. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, on that note, on that funny note, I think we're going to bid farewell to the audience. And thank you so much for watching and tuning in. Sheena's here every day with her shows.
Every single day, my friends.
And I am
here. I never go home.
And I'm here every Tuesday night, or Audrey is, on Mainstream Metaphysics. This is LA Talk Radio. Thanks so much. And check out Sheena's workshop this coming Saturday.
Beautiful.
Take good care and take care of yourselves. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.